PM board bombs.
Welcome back to EM Board Bombs. It's me, Latifat Hussein, co-founder of EM Board Bombs, joined by Dr. Blake Briggs, co-founder of EM Board Bombs. It's good to have you again with us, Dr. Briggs. Thank you for being a guest on.
Yes.
Thank you. Hey, before we go further, we have to promote, who is it?
Emergency Medicine News.
Heck yeah. Emergency Medicine News. They're awesome. Just go to them. It's like free, amazing newsletter. Mm. You'll see Dr. Briggs's face plastered on the columns, some interesting content on there, some controversial topics as well that are discussed. It's great.
Hey, we should probably tell people what we do.
Yeah, I mean, people know by now, Briggs. If they don't know by now, honestly, they can just turn this off. Do we have to?
No, we always got to welcome new guests.
Ah, fine. EM Board Bombs. We are two EM physicians who have a lot of fun and mainly use this podcast as an excuse to go camping and on trips together and meeting up at conferences.
Yes.
That's pretty much it. We drop 10 to 20 minute long episodes, really interesting board content, and we're blue collar EM podcasters. That's who we are. If you want to listen to the refined podcast, there are many, many better ones.
You know? Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, hey, let's dive into the STEM.
Hey, before we do that, can I show this on the screen?
Oh, yeah, please. Yes.
This, for, you know, by the way, we're on the
YouTube. Yeah, we're on YouTube.
We're on the YouTubes now. Look at this mug. It's amazing. Designed by both of us. Mm-hmm. Look at this. This Nalgene.
Made in America.
Right? How cool is this?
Very cool. Very awesome. Nice. Very nice color scheme. If you can't see this, you need to go to YouTube and check it out.
Blake, was your color scheme at the end of the day. Props on this color scheme. Mm-hmm. You know, I love it. It's great. It's very nice. I guess we should, are we selling these or no? We're not selling these. These are just exclusive.
Correct? I think people should let us know if they want it to be sold.
You think so?
I think people should let us know.
All right, fair enough.
We'd be very interested in starting the merch.
The merch. I know you've always pushed this, but anyways, let's go
Everybody
ahead into our STEM.
Everybody loves merch.
And everyone does love merch. Hey, yeah. Let's get into the STEM. A patient presents from the scene of a car crash. He was reported as a pedestrian struck, but EMS states he was actually ghost riding on top of his car while live streaming the entire event. And then he ended up hitting a deer. So obviously, you know what ghost riding is based on. A prior EM Board Bombs episode.
Hashtag fans.
Hashtag fans. Also, this makes complete sense in North Carolina that this happens because it is deer mating season. After all, deer hunting season as well. And they're just everywhere. He has a GCS of 14 on arrival. On the primary survey, you find a heavily bleeding thigh laceration to the medial proximal aspect of his leg. The antler horn that was in there before is now out. Pressure is held with brisk bleeding still occurring, unfortunately. Initial BP. Initial BP is 90 over 50. Heart rate is 121. Respiratory rate is 22. Pulse ox is 94%. What is the best next step? Or as some might say, what is the next best step? Is it A, C collar placement?
Depends if you're from Canada or not.
B, IO placement. C, intubation for airway protection. Or is it D, tourniquet placement? Briggs, what's the correct answer?
You have my attention.
Hey, before we get into that.
Ooh.
Can we talk about... Yeah, EM, rapid bombs.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about deer mating season.
No, I did. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about my hunting trip from last year. Check out our premium podcast. You can find it on emboardbombs.com and click on the Question Bank podcast. You can actually subscribe for it now directly there. You don't even have to go to Supercast anymore. That is the platform we use to do it. But again, go to emboardbombs.com, click on the interactive podcast. Board season is coming around the corner. Just kidding. It's done. I know.
For most people.
I just wanted, you know, people were having like some PTSD from that.
Yeah. But the IT is coming around the corner.
Exactly. IT is coming around the corner.
If you're a resident.
Exactly. So IT is coming up. Now is the time to start. We start to see all the signups happen like in January, February, starts ramping up. I feel like right now is that lull time. But you'll get
Once the holidays hit and they come back from like some type of break or holiday, and they're like, oh, my program director did warn me about this.
Maybe I should start. EM Rapid Bombs, quick 3 to 5 minute long episodes, drop high yield content. Over 400 episodes now.
It's crazy.
That's nuts. 400 questions that you and I have crafted, handcrafted. And
they're artisanally made.
Artisanally made.
Right? Non-GMO.
You know, it's interesting.
Literally, I just got an email. Someone signed up for EM Rapid Bombs. I kid you not. I just got an email.
That's awesome.
So people are listening to this live, essentially, even though it's being recorded. They just know to sign up.
Hey, are you sure this isn't on the YouTubes live?
The YouTubes? People are calling it YT now.
Okay, this is too much. Let's just get to the answer.
They're abbreviating it to YT.
What's the answer here?
Hey, so we should re-mention the answer choices.
You've got this like bleeding patient from like an antler
and their vitals horn, suck.
Right? Yeah. They're just like bleeding out.
What is the best next step, or otherwise known as the next best step if you're Canadian? Choice A, C-collar placement. Choice B, IO placement. Choice C, intubation for airway protection. Choice D, tourniquet placement. And I was asked to give the correct answer. Correct answer is choice D, tourniquet placement.
Love it.
Oh my gosh, but didn't you know tourniquets kill people?
Oh my gosh.
Don't you love that rumor? Anyway, hey, we're going to jump into the holiday spirit
here. Has it been 4 hours or not? Or 2 hours? Or six hours?
You have to announce the room. Tourniquet up. The tourniquet is being put up. Anyway, we're going to jump into the holiday spirit. We're talking about some violent traumatic injuries. Mm. Good stuff. The patient in this question has sustained a traumatic injury, which is a laceration that's having some brisk bleeding. He arrives with an unstable blood pressure. He's tachycardic in the 120s, respiratory rate's 22, and his GCS is 14. Mm. Now, this patient likely has a deep tissue injury. There could be some muscle involvement. Doesn't really matter. We don't know what vessel it hit. It's in the proximal medial thigh. The question is hinting at this is a dangerous area, right? A lot of stuff going on, so you can suspect it's a pretty bad injury. There was an antler in
typical
there.
Typical ED fashion, there's stuff going on there.
Yeah. It's one of those dangerous triangles, but there's always some triangle. There's several triangles, you know, in the body. Yeah. The Bermuda Triangle, the neck triangle, you know, anterior triangle. Some bad stuff. Anyway, these types of questions, I really like them because they're meant to trip people up. And I don't like them for that reason. I like it because we can really help you get around answering this question correctly. And it's testing you essentially if you're following ACLS and ATLS correctly. So control of the bleeding from the site is a critical step in managing trauma patients. It's almost always the correct answer on tests. I can't think of this possibly being the wrong answer ever, meaning doing something else before this step.
Right. Because now, you get that C-collar in place, there's no point in protecting the spine if the patient is dead.
Yes.
Just saying.
Exactly right. So even before placing a tourniquet, site control by holding pressure, which is what you were doing already, and why the question was saying, what's the next step, essentially? In reality, we all know you would control the bleeding, get an IV, place a tourniquet, apply a C-collar, intubate maybe, almost all at once because you have the staff for it at a trauma center, right? Or even in the ED. Yep. Where you're working in the middle of nowhere, you at least have someone else to help you. But on the test, they want to evaluate what is the most pressing problem. If you had to pick one problem here that makes the biggest difference, and in this case, and in every case, is real life knowledge too. Control the bleeding at the site is the most critical. Any rapidly bleeding lacerations or wounds need pressure applied to them. If that doesn't work, put a tourniquet on immediately. A real tourniquet, not just like, we need one of those rubber bands so they get IVs on. Let's put that. No, you should, if you haven't done this, here's another piece of live advice. Every trauma bay or resuscitation bay or wherever you are, you should have some type of CAT tourniquet. We're not sponsored by them. Sort of interested. Or any type of other type of bandages or tourniquets that are going to work. Field tourniquets that are actually proven to stop blood flow. You need to put those on. Now, if that doesn't seem to stop bleeding, in that case, this is probably the most common, I think, for like scalp lacerations and facial lacerations.
They love the scalp lacerations.
They love the scalp laceration.
That's like the great one where it's not, you don't even look. And next thing you know, the patient's like super hypotensive. And no.
Well, also because you can't put a tourniquet, obviously, on their neck. So what you're going to do is you're going to do rapidly staples or sutures to that area. Yeah. And this is not a cosmetic fix. You don't care how it looks. You're literally just doing this to stop down the bleeding, like a purse, you know, laceration string or whatever. It doesn't matter. staples are preferred in almost all these cases because of the speed of placing them. Unless the injury is on the face, in that case, you can do some quick stitches. It doesn't matter. The point is you're just getting site control and then moving on. And at the same time, of course, this patient would be being primed with IV access by a nurse or a tech or something or an IO, and then getting blood products. Now, I've talked long enough here. What are some, you know, key caveats here as we talk about this? You're not, you know, obviously doing lac repair.
Getting
a lidocaine injection, taking your time.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't like one of those where you're just you have calmly to be set on exactly the right type of suture. You're yelling because there's no proline. You know, like you're using what you've got.
I use Monocryl only.
There you go. You know, this is not going to work. You know, this is only going to work in certain situations. And we're not advocating for standing around in the trauma bay, wasting your time doing a lac repair with a rapidly bleeding wound. And you know, other unstable injuries. It's a part of ABC. So you're still assessing the A, B, and C part, right? You're getting ready for intubation if you need to do that while you're doing this. It's happening all kind of in conjunction. Remember circulation? Circulation means obtaining an IV and controlling the bleeding, right? So A, B, C.
And I'm glad you brought that up because this segues into, I think, another key point of this question. Mm. We're going to give you a 2-for-1 special here because it's the holidays, so we might as well give you 2-for-1 here. What is the most common cause of shock in trauma patients? Actually, let me re-ask that. What are the top 3 most common causes of shock in trauma patients? I can tell
you this. Hemorrhagic shock.
Yeah?
Hemorrhagic shock.
That's good. You're almost done.
And it's hemorrhagic shock.
I love it. This is why we're friends.
Yeah. It's really hemorrhagic shock times 3. That's hemorrhagic shock is the most common cause of shock in all trauma patients. So blood loss from injuries is always your number one thing to rule out. If you feel like you ruled out, consider it again. If hemorrhagic shock is truly ruled out, neurogenic injury can cause blood pooling in the extremities because they lack sympathetic tone from the spinal autonomic injury. Tamponade is another one that will sneak up on you that you should always be considering. And that's why
you can only use ultrasound too. You have to have ultrasound.
It's so useful. And the key thing with tamponade too is you might not see like a huge effusion, especially in a trauma patient. You might see just a subtle effusion, and that thing might be growing, but you don't actually require that much. Remember, for tamponade physiology, especially in the acute setting, you actually don't need that much blood to cause actual hypotension, right? So that's a great one that can just sneak up on you that you need to know what to look out for. And then pneumothorax, again, that's another one. These are kind of distant secondary causes of shock in trauma patients. And neurogenic shock tends to be pretty uncommon as well.
Yeah.
But again, hemorrhagic shock.
You know, hemorrhagic shock. I remember that you and I knew that we were going to be good friends because that's actually the first question you asked me. Yeah. You came up to me and you said, "Hey, what's your name?" I said, "Blake." And he's like, "Hey, sorry to be so forward, but do you believe that hemorrhagic shock are the top 3 causes of shock in trauma patients?" I said, "Absolutely." Yeah. And he said, "Here's my card. Call me."
Yeah. And
let's start a podcast.
Let's do this thing. And then the rest is history.
Exactly. Hey, so what's the treatment for? We just know what's going on here.
I beat you to it. What is the treatment for hemorrhagic shock?
Not crystalloid. Gosh. Or as some people say, no pasta water. As one of the co-doctors I worked with. Absolutely.
That's great.
That's very good line. Awesome. So can't take credit for that one. Blood products, of course. On the test and in real life, give product. Now, I know that ATLS still teaches to give this 1 liter crystalloid crap. Mm-hmm. The reason is to give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt is that they're teaching this course assuming you have no resources. Yeah. And so they're saying, hey, just get in your head, give them something. And so I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. However, hashtag surgery, they have never really caveated that statement by saying, if you have blood, give it before crystalloid. And so unfortunately, it's led to a lot of that lagging and confusion of, oh, well, we give the crystalloid and then we get the blood product. This is completely the wrong answer. You should always be giving blood product first. And on your board exam, if you give blood product first, you are not going to flunk. They're not expecting you to do crystalloid first. Mm-mm. EM exams are well ahead of ATLS and understand you should be doing blood products first. Okay. So on ABEM and your EM in service, the ITE, they're never going to give you a choice between IV fluids and blood products. That is a question of the past. So they know this paradigm is changing in trauma care. So blood products first.
They're losing. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, let's go over the incorrect answers. Choice A talked about applying a C color, which we made a joke about earlier.
Mm.
And funny enough, I know.
Hey, you think Canadian C spine? You mentioned our Canadian friends. Do you think Canadian C spine would apply here?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. All right.
Yeah. Great score, by the way. Great score. Yeah. A lot of people say I'm anti-American because I use Canadian C-spine over Nexus, but I'm sorry. I'm a Canadian C-spine fan. Anyway.
All day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry the for the Nexus creators listening to this podcast. Subjective
tenderness
yeah.
to, you know, palpate,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, whatever that on. Means.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Everybody's sore. I'm sore right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, choice A said to apply a C-collar. Now, 5 to 15% of patients with GCS-14, whatever, decreased GCS in the setting of a severe car accident, whatever, or trauma, they will have cervical spine injuries. So it's not uncommon they have it. But maintaining C-spine precaution by hand can be the appropriate nature here.
Yep.
But controlling bleeding always takes precedent. As you said earlier, put a C-collar on and they're dead. It doesn't really matter.
Mm.
Obviously, the bleeding control is more important. Now, why don't you go over the other answer choices and we'll get out of here with the coaching.
Yep. Coach B, that was place an IO. It's always good to think about an IO. But IV access should be attempted first. I feel like the fastest way to get an IV in is for someone to yell, get me an IO kit.
Yes.
And then magically the IV just happens. It just happens. Choice C was to
intubate. We should publish that.
Let's look into that. Let's talk to our people. I think we can get some great med students on that. Choice C was to intubate. There's nothing in the stem to suggest this patient requires emergent intubation. Nothing.
Correct.
Coaching. All right. Hey, let's do some shorts here. The YouTube shorts. Now, I've been taking a lot of them and getting thousands and tens of thousands of views. I think you need to get some. All right. Let's do it. Dr. Briggs, the first coaching one. Let's go.
Let's go.
Into the camera.
Look. Remember your order of resuscitation in trauma patients. In ATLS, control the bleeding. That's number one. So pressure followed by tourniquet. Followed by staples and or sutures if the tourniquet doesn't work. That takes priority. Site control first, followed by everything else. Site control first.
I love that. That was great. Hey, let's do another short. You ready?
Ready.
All right.
I'm a little tired, but I can do it.
You can do it. Come on. Look into the camera.
Yeah. Hard work being a YT creator. All right. Coaching number two. The top three causes of shock and trauma are hemorrhage, and more hemorrhage. I'm putting my fingers up too, just like Ultify. We got to emphasize this. Three types of shock, all hemorrhage. Distant causes, tamponade, pneumothorax, and neurogenic shock. Mm. Always remember that. Give product first.
Yep.
So if you're on ABM or ITE or in real life, you should be giving blood products, not pasta water. That is number one.
Pasta water.
If you're in ATLS, I'm really sorry. You're going to have to say crystalloid. And I'm really sorry you're also doing ATLS because that sounds like the last thing I'd want to do.
Yes.
I've been there. We've all been there.
We've been there. We feel your pain.
Yeah.
But also, we don't feel too bad for you because we all did it.
Exactly.
Which is the typical medicine line, right? That's what we say.
That's it. Hey, check out EM Board Bombs, EM Rapid Bombs, EM News, YouTube. There's a lot of things you got to check out. But the most important thing is go to our website and check on EM Rapid Bombs.
Yeah, EM Rapid Bombs. I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on. We got like Alexandria like crushing it with all, you know, the YouTube shorts and everything. And then
Marlena. Yeah,
can I just tell you like a really quick story here? This is if our listeners are still listening. My wife, she went through some of the memes that Marlena has. And I'm not joking. She had to go use the bathroom because she almost peed herself.
I'm sure your wife loves this story being told too.
I don't think she minds. I don't know, but they were hilarious. There was one, like the Tylenol one, you know, where the guys from the Nicolas Cage meme that she has. I forgot the other actor's name. And he's, you know, he has that look on his face when he's asking him, you know, wait, did you 1,000 Tylenol tablets or 1,000 milligrams? Just the look, the meme that she did
there hilarious.
Was just amazing. Yeah. And then the classic one that she's created. And I don't think people realize this is all like OG content. This is like original content that Marlena is doing.
Trademark EM Board Moms.
Trademark EM Board Moms. You know, MD, PhD. She's like the smartest one of us all.
Yeah.
You know, how amazing is that? That we have such an astute, you know, scholar that's creating.
Working with two losers like us.
I know. I feel bad for her sometimes. But I'm just thankful that she tolerates us. Just thankful that she tolerates us. Hey, by the way, I got some great feedback. I know Marlena was hosting and we had her doing a bunch of things these past 2 months. But great feedback on the work she's that incredible. Marlena did. She did We're happy amazing to have her work. On. Yeah.
She'll be back. She'll be back in a couple episodes. I'm really excited.
I know. We're excited. We'll get all three of us on too at some point.
Oh, yeah. So maybe one day.
Maybe one day. But seriously, check out her memes on Twitter. They're just, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. I cannot emphasize that enough.
All right. We're going to see you next time. Let's leave this out.
Love you guys.
Peace and love. Peace and love. You know, happy holidays.
You know, in this day and age, peace and
Merry
love.
Merry Christmas.
We mean it.
Happy Hanukkah.
All right. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. It's not Eid yet. Eid Mubarak early. All right.
See you guys. Yeah, that's really early. All right. See you later.